Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings. I guess this is a new episode, and I guess Blog Talk Radio is not going to allow the intro to come on today. But for all of you who are listening live, I want to say to you all, As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to another edition of the Star and Crescent Report. We already know they're going to be playing games since they did not let the intro come on, but we're good with that. We'll deal with that, so long as they allow us to come on the air and just talk to you for a few minutes. Thank you for joining us on another episode of this, which is the most powerful platform for truth anywhere on the face of God's green earth. Today's show is titled, This is America, the Land of Chaos and Collapse. Now, before we want get in there, we want to say to you all, also go join our platform, which is called the Red Pill Diaries, which is all one word, and like us. It don't cost you anything to like us on and subscribe on YouTube. Also, if you feel like it, go join our Patreon, where we have all kind of inside content that you don't get normally. Also, join the Hiram's 1555 blog over there. The articles are free, but we do have a section that is premium where we offer you some insight and we give you some information that is handed to us privately from sources in different areas of the globe, okay? And so we've had a lot of heavy hitters on the Red Pill Diaries. We've had Miles Koenig. You can check him out on Press TV. We've had Charles Dunaway. You can check him out on Press TV. We've had market guru analyst, who is Gregory Mannarino. We've had several other people on there, and this coming week we'll be having, over on the Red Pill Diaries, we'll be having Poor Righteous Teachers, which is a Muslim conscious hip-hop group from the late 80s, early 90s. They will be on the, and I don't know if it will be live for everybody, because we've been giving a lot of good content live, and I want to give some things to the subscribers to the Red Pill Diaries. So we're going to have a lot of more guests over there. So you go over there and subscribe to the Red Pill Diaries. We're also advertising $2 for beginners Patreon too over there at the Red Pill Diaries. Thank you all again for joining us on the most exciting, most informative, most powerful and empowering platform for truth anywhere. This is the Star and Crescent Report. Again, the show is titled, This is America, the Land of Chaos and Collapse. Now, I labeled this or titled this show that because I want you to take a look around at what you see here in America, what you see going down in America. There is a lot of chaos everywhere. Now, I want to share something with you. As America collapses, and we're living in the collapse, and as the chaos spreads, and you're living and you're watching in real time the spread of the collapse and chaos and the dissatisfied and the dissatisfaction across America, you're living in it. Do you notice how white people are screaming about stolen elections? White people are screaming about their rights. You know how white people are screaming about liberty and freedom and standing up, right? But when you were screaming for liberty and freedom and independence and your rights, they turned a deaf ear and a blind eye. And, y'all just be satisfied with what you have. It ain't as bad as what you say. But when they are so-called deprived of some of the things that they have grown accustomed to, they want everybody in the world to be outraged. The election was stolen, right? So what? This is the end. I'm going to say this. It's because some of you act like you just don't get it. This is the end of America. Everything that the most honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us concerning the fall of America, especially in that last 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period, has happened and is happening. And you know it because I've been telling you this for the last almost 12 years on the air. And everything that we've talked about on the air that nobody else touched on, that nobody else talked about, you are now seeing it in real time. And it's funny that we talked about it and we got a lot of flack about it, and now everybody is talking about these things. But brothers and sisters, I want to reassure your mind. I want to reassure you this day that God is on the scene and he is in control of everything, right? We're looking at America being deprived of her position globally. We're looking at America, her collapse domestically. We're looking at the outrage from the nations, from America's interference in their domestic affairs. And again, back to what I was just saying. Isn't it funny that Americans, these white people in America can scream out about vote tampering and distorted elections when they are always overthrowing and involved in the color revolutions of every nation around the globe that they deem to be an enemy? Isn't that something? The hypocrisy of this nation, and it is being magnified globally so the whole world can see. This is no coincidence that these things are happening in the last 5 years of that 60 to not exceed 70-year grace period. I keep telling you that as we talk on all of these geopolitical issues, as we talk on all of these economic and political issues, it all comes back to the time. We never lose focus on the time, because without an understanding of the time, you put yourself in jeopardy to become a victim of what will happen in this time. That is very important that you understand this. Now, for those of you who are just joining us, those of you who are just logging in, those of you who are just calling in, we may have a lot of interference. I may get cut off. I may get muted. All of that stuff may happen because we see how the show started. They didn't even allow the intro to play. Okay? We're constantly having problems scheduling the show. This is telling you that they see a threat in this show. Right? While they allow the football and the baseball and the basketball shows and the relationship shows to continue on without any interference. But this show, they're constantly bothering, right? There's no coincidence. But I want to call your attention to something. Remember when I was getting flack, when I was telling you about the geopolitical issues and people would say, oh, that ain't Elijah Muhammad's teaching. I kept telling you, this is what the messenger talked about. Other people just didn't have the insight to understand it. And I kept telling you. And I was pointing it out in the books that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote and in the lectures what he spoke, right? It's ironic today, as I told you, that in that 60 to not exceed 70 year grace period and those last 5 to 10 years of that grace period which we are in, that you would see the Asiatic nations, right, starting to unite, and they would start building up their own political and economic system independent of the Western dominated system. We were talking about this. We've been talking about this on the air. The proof is in the pudding. Go listen to all the shows going back to 2009. Okay? What do we have today? A few days ago, China, Japan, Australia, South Korea, and what is one more outside nation plus the ASEAN or Asian, A-S-E-A-N organization, which is comprised of Asian nations, which is the A-S-I-A-N nations. And they have signed the largest trade pact in the world. I told you that was coming, right? Why did I know that? Because Elijah Muhammad has said it. He said it multiple times in the Theology of Time. He talked about it is the Asiatic nations who are the one laying America low, right? And America is excluded from this trade pact, which consists of one third of the total population on the planet Earth. Huh? I'm telling you these things. Google what I'm saying. Google it. Think about that. A trade pact that excludes what was the most powerful and influential nation on the planet. What does that signify? That signifies the downfall of America. That signifies the receding of American influence and power. And that signifies the turning point in global affairs. You understand this? because this trade block will be doing trade outside of the U.S. dollar, right? And all of these nations, most of these nations that signed the pact were already signing currency swap deals with China before this. You see how this goes? That means that these nations will be able to transact trade without paying America a fee. These nations will be able to transact trade without America using the dollar to destabilize those countries by hiking interest rates, lowering interest rate, right? Destabilizing the U.S. currency for a minute so that hyperinflation can set in other nations so that the people can ride in the streets and overthrow the governments. This is what America does with her position as the global currency and the number one economy. But she's no longer the number one economy, even though people still refer to her as the number one economy. She is no longer the number one manufacturer. She is no longer the number one trade partner. She's no longer the number one importer, the number one exporter. As we did in, I think it was a 40 or 50 minute lecture on the Red Pill Diaries. And it was talking about America is number one no more. And in this, we use facts, nothing but facts that was published, to prove to you that America no longer holds the number one dominant position globally. Okay? This is not by coincidence. Right? Remember, Elijah Muhammad says that it is that yellow man of Asia that will chase down this white American man. Right? And I told you on this show several times that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that that yellow man of Asia would chase America down in every sphere of power that she once dominated in. Right? Proof is in the pudding. Go Google it. Go Google it. The top four world banks, banks in the world is Chinese. Chinese. The top four. Right? China also is making more billionaires than any nation. That's no coincidence. But you don't get it. You don't see it. You don't understand that we're living in the fall of America. You don't see that it is the Asiatic nations who are united. Where's the theology of time? Where's the theology of time? Here we are. Oh, man, it turned right to the page. My God. Oh, all praise is due to Allah. On page 233, Messenger Muhammad says, you are so afraid that you're going to go hungry or lose your prestige among white people. You will never get no place like that. Look at that small Japanese people, very small people. Nevertheless, they have sense enough to unite with his own. He was yelling over there before the last war, Asia for the Asiatics. Asiatic is for Asia. Now he sings that song and he got plenty. I skipped the verse. I want to go back to something because it's very important that I add this in. He said he is yelling over there before that last war, Asia for the Asiatics. Asiatic is for Asia until they give them a deaf ear. Then the enemy all but run them out of Asia. Now he sings that song and he got plenty who are ready now to unite with him and say Asia is for Asia. He laid hold on his big brother the other day, China. China laid hold to his little brother, Japan. See, he's talking about a interaction between these Asiatic nations that will change the balance of power globally. You don't understand this thing. But he put it right here in clear writing, okay? Clear writing. But you didn't have to, you didn't understand it because your mom was so preoccupied with all of this ignorance and foolishness that the devil put before you. All right. Now I'm gonna go back to page 229 because it's something very important on 229. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, "My beloved brothers, what is coming on us now is going to drive you to the bread wagon if you don't get up and do something for yourself." Now stop right there because this has everything to do with Asia, but Do you know that the unemployment just exploded again? Do you know that the numbers are actually pushed down? They don't give you the real numbers, but still, the made-up numbers that they give you are still astronomical. Between 749,000 unemployed up to over a million plus unemployed each week. Each week. And I'm asking you to calculate these things. If this has been going on all year long, and a year consists of 52 weeks, right? See, when they say stuff like this, I do mathematics. If they're losing between 700 and some thousand and 1. Such millions or whatever every week, then you do the math and how many weeks are in a year. And when you look at that and compare it to the total population of the nation, it shows you a decline economically. Right? And it shows you a picture of the level of economic destruction that is taking place in America. Right? See, I don't just do the bottom, the base numbers. I go into the thing to get a true idea of what is going on. Now, with that being said, let me read further because I want to get to something. My beloved brothers, what is coming on us now is going to drive you to the bread wagon if you don't get up and do something for yourself. The uniting of Japan and China and their other allies are united together to deal with self, not with white people. Uh-oh, not with white people. What are you talking about? What just happened a few days ago? The largest trade agreement in the world. That trade agreement signals the death of Western dominance. Because if the Asian nations now have the economic power and the wherewithal to use that power, it weakens America and the West's political clout. And as the Asian nations use their economic clout to help strengthen their military position, it weakens the Western use of black male or white male against the nations of the earth. And they no longer can dominate. You understand the significance of what is being said? Elijah Muhammad says, the uniting of Japan, China, and their other allies are uniting together to deal with self, not with white people. If white people want to come in, they must come in by what they offer them. Stop right there again. America was excluded. You say, well, Australia was. But Australia is an indigenous country that is occupied by white folks right now. And the original people are rising up against the Australian people, the white folks, right? But if we look at this, at what he said, there was an article that came out. I think it was yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. It couldn't have been no more than 2 days ago, but I believe it was yesterday. That they were saying that America missed the boat. And the trade pact, the economic agreement with China and Japan and Australia and South Korea and the ASEAN nations together, which excluded the U.S., right, meant a changing of political and global power. This is what the article was saying. And it said that it may not be too late for America if she signs on, but she has to come in by what they have set as the standard. This is what the article was saying, right? And when I read the article, I started laughing a little bit. I said, but I thought Elijah Muhammad didn't know what he was talking about. Huh? All these fools who laughed and made mock thought he didn't know what he was talking about. Because to the T, they were describing what he had wrote and what he had spoken. But let's go further. If white people want to come in, they must come in by what they, who is they? The Asian nations offer them. This is something the East has not been doing. See, they had not been uniting under the trade pacts. They had not been setting up their own banks. They had not been setting up their own economic infrastructure. They had not set up their own gold boards. They had not set up their own gold reserves, their own gold markets. They had not set up any of those. But that's something the East has been doing. By now, they are ready to push the West out of the East so that they can do business with each other. And they have plenty of each other over there. They have hundreds of millions of people. They are sick of the West, and they are going to push the West out so the East can be. Believe it or not, this is a direction, as you call it in slang, from the horse's brow. Now, I read that to you so that you can understand the magnitude of what is taking place. There's a grand shift going on. Because, as they said, when this deal is put into practice, it almost completely nullifies the dollar as the global reserve currency. Almost nullifies it. And all while this is going on, right? Remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that they're about ready to push the West out of the East so that the East can be, right? This is why you have the nations building up their military might along with their economic might. Because if you have economic might and no military might, then the West will destroy your economy. Look what they did to Libya, right? Right? Now, I'm going to point your attention to something concerning Libya and concerning what's going on in Asia. Remember, I have been telling you this over and over and over and over and over and over and over again because it missed a lot of people because they had never talked about it, never mentioned it before anything. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had said that Libya would play a part in the fall of America. Well, Russia has joined the BRICS, right? Russia has joined the Belt and Road Initiative, right? Russia has joined the Eurasian Integration Group, and they said that the economic union that they have with some of the former Soviet republics will interact and be a trading partner to the Asian grouping, the complete Asian grouping. Now, this is something that goes along. See, I'm trying to connect the dots so that you can see this. Then I'm going to play some clips, okay? There was a documentary by Oliver Stone, and he talked to Vladimir Putin over a matter of weeks, I believe. And Vladimir Putin couldn't get out of his head. As a matter of fact, I think you can look at it on Hulu, if I'm not mistaken. I forget what it's called. But I believe you can look at it on Hulu. Just Hulu, Google Oliver Stone interview with Vladimir Putin or something like that. Just put it in a search engine, and you may be able to go to it, okay? But anyway, in that, he talked about America exceeding the limits in her power on everything. And one thing that he could not shake is when they went into Libya and overthrew Gaddafi. That's something that he couldn't get over. And as I was looking at something on YouTube, he also mentioned it on YouTube in an interview. It seemed like that was something that he could not shake. That they had went in, a sovereign nation that had once been the poorest nation, and under Gaddafi, they eradicated poverty almost. They eradicated illiteracy. They became the richest nation on the Mediterranean. I'm not just talking about African nations. I'm talking about on the Mediterranean Sea. So you have European nations on the Mediterranean Sea. They went in there and they overthrew this man. Not only did they overthrow him, see, this is what I want to get to you, Barack Obama lovers. It was under his tutelage that this happened. Not only did they overthrow him, they tortured him and they raped him. You understand me? They raped him. They sodomized him with the barrel of guns and bayonets before they killed him. And this played over and over in Vladimir Putin's head. And a lot of these things, you can Google some of this stuff. I believe you can pull it up as easy as I did. He talked about these matters. And listen, and in one interview, Xi Jinping, the president of China, talked on that issue also. And this was a common denominator which connected Vladimir Putin and Xi Jinping. You understand? and they had made it up in their mind that this would never happen again. So they moved politically lock and step. Then they moved economically lock and step. And now you see the fruition of their economic and political moves. But this played back to Libya, as I told you. See, you never thought about that. You never saw that. As I saw the video and I saw the interviews and stuff, I said, man, Elijah Muhammad is so right. He can't be wrong. But some of you don't see it, okay? But again, that goes back to what he said here. It says, by now they are ready to push the West out of the East so that they can do business with each other. What happened? Let's go to something while I'm talking to you. Okay? Give me a second. All right, here we are right here. I'm pulling this article up. I want you to, and I'm reading it for the first time with you. This is a today's article, okay? It's by Mohammed Almazi. And the article is titled, China, Japan, and South Korea are the big winners as major trade deal is signed, economist explains. China is slowly reorienting its economy away from North America and towards the rest of Asia. Remember this? It is the Asiatic nations who are the ones laying America low. Remember, Elijah Muhammad's words are echoing over all of these things that you see happening. And remember, Elijah Muhammad says, right, when he was talking about Asia, he says, the uniting of Japan and China and their other allies, which are uniting together to deal with self, not with white people. He said, with self. If white people want to come in, they must come in by what they, talking about the Asian nations, offer. This is not going to be no return to normal where Europe and America is going to dictate economic terms and political terms and geopolitical terms. That day is over. He says, this is something the East has not been doing. But by now, he said, by now, they are ready to push the West out of the East so that they can do business with each other. Let me say, China is slowly reorienting its economy away from North America and towards the rest of Asia, as evidenced by the newly finalized Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership that it has signed with 15 fellow Asian countries, covering 2.3 billion people, an economic analyst tells Sputnik. The world's largest trading bloc. Listen what this says. This says right here. Remember, I'm reading this for the first time with you. The world's largest trading bloc. Who's the leader of that trading bloc? Led by China, finalized a new trade agreement on 15th of November 2020, which will account for 30% of the global gross domestic product. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP as it is called, is being described as the world's largest free trade agreement and a coup for China. You heard that? A coup for China. I'm going to finish reading that, right? But I want to bring something to your attention, okay? I'm going to the dictionary real quick. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word coup, C-O-U-P, coup, means a sudden, violent, and illegal seizure of power from a government, an overthrow, a seizure of power, a takeover, an ousting, a deposition or deposition, a notable or successful stroke or move. A success, a triumph, a feat, a successful maneuver done in a successful manner or stunt. Right? Now let's go back to that and read that over again so you can get an understanding of what it is. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RECEP, as it is called, is being described as the world's largest free trade agreement and a what? Coup or what? Overthrow, takeover, ousting, deposition, a notable or successful stroke or move, a success, a triumph, a feat, or a stunt by China. All right? I'm just reading what the definition is, okay? It says, Michael Roberts has worked as an economist with investment research firms in the City of London for over 30 years. Mr. Roberts explains the significance of this new agreement as well as the similarities and differences between it and those that have been pushed by the U.S. government in the past, such as the ultimately doomed Trans-Pacific Partnership, right? He says, Sputnik asked the what exactly does the RECEP agreement do? Michael Roberts answers, the RECEP takes most of the existing agreement signed by the 10 members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, which is Asian, A-S-E-A-N, that is the acronym for that, Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, the Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam, and combines them into a single multilateral pact with Australia, China, Japan, New Zealand, and South Korea. By combining a mismatch of separate agreements into a single deal, RECEP brings Asia, A-S-I-A, a step closer to becoming a coherent trading zone like the EU or North America. This covers, though, 2.3 billion people. All right? It says the RECEP signatories constitute 30% of global GDP compared to the North American Trade Pact with 28%, and with the EU with 17%. The RECEP strengthens East Asian interdependence, raising trade among members by $428 billion and raising global GDP by $200 billion annually by 2030. That sounds large, but constitutes only an increase of 0.2% of annual GDP, global GDP. Nevertheless, these agreements bring regional ties closer to the institutional arrangements proposed back in the 1990s and incentivizes greater cooperation among China, Japan, and South Korea. You see that? Now, how did Elijah Muhammad know that that was coming? I'm asking you these things. How did he know that? Because we've just read it in his book. Because this book was transcribed from his lecture. So how did he know that this was in the offing in the last 60 to not exceed 70 years? Huh? I'm asking you these things. We getting quiet? We don't want to acknowledge the facts? Because I'm telling you, I'm giving you the facts. Now, let me say this. Let me stop for a minute. I'll bring Brother Rashid in a second, but I want to stop for a minute. Right now we have an insurance adjuster outside. We have a my children in homeschooling. We have an air conditioner man going through the house, so you're going to hear a lot of noise in the background because we have a lot going on. But I didn't want to. If Blog Talk was going to allow me to do the show today, I was going to do it. Whether it was a whole bunch of crying in the background, I was going to do it because we never know when they're going to let me back on the air on the Star and Crescent Report. Okay. So I just wanted to put that on your mind. So if you hear fans blowing, if you hear bamming, if you hear children crying, that's what's going on, okay? And I'm not in my office area. I'm actually in my room sitting on my bed and got my foot elevated because of a broken foot that I've been dealing with for the last few weeks or whatever like that. So that's what's going on here, okay, if you hear anything in the background. So bear with us. Don't pay attention to the background distractions or whatever. Pay attention to the main arguments that we're putting before you. Now, on that note, I'm going to bring you in Brother Rashid because I see him there. I didn't see you for a second, Brother Rashid, because I was on another page while I was talking to you all, and I was reading that that article right there, part of that article. So I'm going to bring you in right now. I'm going to say to you, Assalamu alaikum.
Wale Islam, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah, brother. We hear you loud and clear. Go ahead, brother. Rap.
This Asian deal is not going to stop there. It's going to continue. Continue. They're going to pick up steam by getting more and more countries on their side.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
remember,
right.
Remember, Iran, Iraq, all of them are Asian nations too.
That's right. Pakistan.
Yeah, all of them Asian nations. The only one that's not going to be is them Hindus and then rid of a Modi. They don't flip. This is the time when his time is up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was dealing with another brother was talking about that. You know, we don't know when we're going to have some time. We might have more time. This is it. The devil had his time. The man you say time became prolonged.
Yep.
And hearts hardened. This is it. When you see what's happening with this virus, don't you?
Yeah.
This virus is shutting down the world. That only the scriptures talk about it. You say like the man you say he was talking with one of the Jewish. I don't believe in none of that. Believe it. And watch it. It's happening right in front of your face, even though you don't believe it or not. But let me let you go on and take care of the show. I just want to stand up one country after the next. And when they finish, so long, Empire. Salaam alaikum.
Yes, sir, brother. Salaam alaikum. Hey, brother, make sure you stay and raise your hand again. I'm going to bring you back in on some other points. Brother Jerry might chime in, somebody else might chime in, but I just wanted to let you know that I'm going to mute you right now. Listen, brothers and sisters, there's so much going on. There's so much going on. And we are continuing to prove to you the words of Elijah Muhammad. Now, it's up to you to take them. I know some of you don't like Elijah Muhammad because you've been offended by foolishness. So you let the white man tell you some foolishness and you believe it, then you get offended when we talk to you about the truth. But see, you can believe in anything you want. There's a time set. This is what I tell people. Don't get exasperated. Don't get all in huffed and puffed and mad about people not accepting you, not liking your point of view. Just let it go. There's a time appointed for all of these things. And when that time is up, like Elijah Muhammad tells us, he says, you can believe in Buddhism. It doesn't matter to him. There's a time set. And when his God strikes out after you 100%, you're going to come over. You're going to come over. You're going to be forced to. And we're living in a time of the manifestation of that because the white man, he's losing his economic prowess. Not just internationally, domestically. Businesses are shuttering left and right. Banks are going bankrupt. Industries that have been the butt of the U.S. Economy for decades are collapsing, are folding, are going under. Right? There's a great wealth and social divide, great color divide. Dissatisfaction is brewing and growing and spreading. Right? This is in the heart of the empire. And yet, people got real happy a few days ago when Trump said, I'm pulling these troops out of such and such. Then right at the last minute, he says, I'm pulling them out, but we'll leave a few there. The empire would never fully come home unless she's forced to come home. And the domestic situation is spiraling out of control. Her economic outlook is tailspinning into an abyss. So she will be forced to leave because she won't have the wherewithal to maintain her bases around the globe. Because with this reset, they will be trading outside of the dollar. This is one-third of the planet Earth. One-third of the global GDP. So America will not have the luxury to print her dollar at infinitum and then export inflation to the other nations like she once did. The illusion of American prominence, power, and wealth is coming to an abrupt end. And it's doing it right here, right now, in real time. You cannot deny this. You will not be able to deny this stuff. Right? So, we're looking at Asia. Let's go back to that. We're looking at Asia, and we're looking at a catalyst which pushed Russia and pushed Russia's allies into an unspoken pact with China and some of China's trading partners, right? And they are moving outside of the dollar, outside of the euro in trade. This weakens America. This weakens European power. And it all falls back on Libya. Who would have ever thought that? Google what I'm saying. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. Don't take anything that I'm saying face value. I welcome you all to go and do your research and see if I'm telling you the truth. Just see it. Other people, they don't want you to question them. I invite you to do this. Because I know what I'm saying is the absolute truth. Okay? There was a brother Darrell. He, one time he left me a private message a while ago, and he said, brother, he was reading an article, and it was talking about Turkey and what Turkey's doing. And he was, his spirits were so high because he's a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he wrote me, and he sent me this email, and he was talking to me, and he said, brother, you were the only one that was talking about this flip. You were the only one talking about Turkey turning back. You were the only one that was pointing these things out in the messenger's case. I was, but I was getting a lot of flack from the so-called believers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad because they was telling me what I was saying, what Elijah Muhammad was teaching, and I was showing them right in the books that Elijah Muhammad was saying these things. But some of them, they couldn't take it because it was new to them. They had never heard of it. They had never had the understanding. So I didn't take offense to them attacking me. I knew that in time they would agree with me because time brings about all things. I may be your enemy today, but when you see how much I embrace the messenger and you say you love the messenger, sooner or later, it's going to come where you're going to square it up and you're going to say, you know what, that brother right there, I like that brother. I love that brother. That brother right there, he's on his post. He's doing his job. He's not trying to make himself out to be this person and that person. He's just giving you the straight truth, and he's challenging any man, woman, child, seal, dolphin, shark, or whale to dispute him on this stuff. To dispute him on this, because I'm proving this. I'm taking these white people articles, their clips, their speeches, and I'm showing you in real time what Elijah Muhammad said, what he wrote, what he spoke, what he put on lectures, videos, audios, reel-to-reel, DAT tape. I'm showing you these things so that you will not be able to deny the truth of what Elijah Muhammad revealed, because I want you to understand something. Rashid Muhammad didn't know none of these things. I learned from the Lamb of God by studying, and it was by the grace of Allah that he opened my eyes to see certain things. My mom used to always tell me, and she's listening to the show right now, so if I'm lying, she'll chime in and she'll tell you. As a child, I was always reading scripture as a child, and I could see things in the scripture. I would mark my books down. I would mark my Bibles and stuff was always marked with four words and all this stuff like this. Boom, boom, boom. I would always see stuff different than everybody else. I was like, why is this person saying this? And this is right here. Why? And that is the same thing when I see the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's teachings, because these are scripture. These are divine words. And you are supposed to honor and respect these words. Right? And we are supposed to use real-time data, history, science, theology, world events, politics, to justify, to prove scripture, to prove God's word. That's what we're supposed to do without self-addition, without subtraction. Because it ain't about us. It's about the deliverance of 68 million black people here in America and the billions around the world. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Some of you so petty, you don't understand that. You're so wrapped up in your own world instead of focusing on the salvation of so many, even if it costs your life. Even if it causes you to sacrifice, because I pay for all this. I pay for all this. Doing the shows and stuff, that's me. I pay for the Red Pill Diaries. I pay for the Star and Crescent Report. I pay for the get the books published. I pay to send out a food criteria. That's me. But that's the clock. And I do it freely because I love the teaching that I love the God that gave the teaching to the last and the greatest messenger that I love. And it is no effort to do that. You understand? But in the same time, when you're seeing the manifestation of God's word, you got to bear witness to this stuff. You don't want to be chastised into just bear witness. You want to come willingly because it's always better to accept good willingly. You understand? Because look at America, how hard-hearted and stiff-necked and rebellious the American people and government are. Even in the midst of their fall and their decline, they're still around the world threatening war with the nations, still trying to sanction nations, still telling everybody in the world who would listen that other people are the cause of terrorists, when America is arming, training, and then deploying and redeploying troops and terrorists all across the globe to further her agenda of destabilizing nations so that she can be the only stable nation, therefore she can be the dominant nation. See? This all plays a part. As a matter of fact, I was going to play an economic clip real quick, but I'm going to play something about an economic hitman. You know, I got the book around here, Economic Hitman, and you know, when the book first came out, I did a lot of promo about that book on the Star and Crescent Report by the white guy. I forget his name. Where's my ego? I'm not even where my books are, but you got to check that book out. He talks about American policy. And how America goes in and she sends people in to bribe leaders, and if the leaders are unbribable, she threatens them, and then if they won't accept the threat, she go in and she tries to destabilize and overthrow the government. If that's not working, she goes in and she tries to assassinate the leader. If that's not working, then she uses the media to demonize them and start calling them thugs and dictators. You heard that before, huh? The dictator, Gaddafi. The dictator, Saddam. The dictator, the Ayatollah. The dictator, President Bashar al-Assad, the dictator was the president that was overthrown. I think his name was Bashar over in Sudan. Everybody that America doesn't like is a dictator, a tyrant. This man talked about it in his book, but I want you to hear what he says about why China is winning. Okay? This is his perception now, but I want you to hear, because even though his perception is not 100% accurate, he recognized that America is losing, by way of acknowledging that China is winning. You understand? So I want you to listen to this. This is only a 4.5-minute clip. So check this out.
Portable TV. Come watch with me. Joining us now is the perfect guest, an author who I have followed for years. He wrote Confessions of an Economic Hitman. You've probably read it or seen it. It describes how companies, banks, and the U.S. government often work together to influence and interfere in the sovereignty of countries around the world. This is interesting. John, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, John Perkins. Hey, after watching much of your work and reading many of your books, I almost get the sense that most countries, smaller countries like in Latin America, are helpless to the powers of these giant corporations and, to a certain extent, the U.S. government. Whereas in this case, China is doing to the United States what most of those small countries have not been able to do. Do you get my drift?
Absolutely, Rick. I think that's very true. And I think what we have to recognize, like it or not, China is a growing power, and it's being accepted by many parts of the world. Until the pandemic hit, I was traveling a great deal around the world, including the former Soviet countries, and countries in Central Asia, China, Russia. And, you know, everywhere where I go, I find that the opinion of the United States as a world leader is declining. I don't like that, but it's a fact. On the other hand, the whole idea of the New Silk Road, of the Chinese endeavors to win the world to its side, are being pretty effective, actually. And what the United States is doing right now with this business with Taiwan is it's really like, you know, sticking a thorn in the side of a very, very powerful enemy.
You were there when the United States was getting its hegemony, right? Its preeminence, right? Did you work at the CIA? Is that right?
Well, I worked for a private corporation, but our clients included the U.S. State Department, the World Bank, not directly the CIA, but I'd say indirectly, yes, but I was never employed, no credit of a CIA card.
What is the United States, what is China doing that the United States did not do? And let me just explain to our guests who maybe haven't seen your work. You detail how the United States teams up with companies and goes into small countries, let's just name any country, Guatemala, and literally foments revolution, foments new elections, that kind of things. That's how we gained our influence in that place. What is China doing better than what we did?
Well, I think we made some very big mistakes. Once the Soviet Union ended in 1991, we had an opportunity to show the world how good capitalism and democracy could be. Instead, we imposed what's called conditionalities, our structural adjustment policies on countries when we gave them loans. We insisted that their politics be consistent with ours, or at least that they help our companies. We didn't really care whether they were dictators or democratically elected presidents, as long as they opened the door for U.S. corporations. But we made very, very strong conditionalities. China has made a point of not doing that. You know, they're saying, well, listen, we want to trade with these countries. We don't care what kind of governments they have. And again, you know, I'm not justifying one system versus the other. I'm an American. I want to see us do a lot better. But what I am saying is that this is winning the hearts and minds of people, because people resent when their countries, when their governments have rules imposed on them by other countries. We also located military bases in many of these countries, and we forced them to vote with us in the United Nations against Cuba, etc. The Chinese are not doing that. Sovereign nations really resent that. And so I think, you know, I think the Chinese economic hitmen, and they're out there. Believe me, they are really out there. But I think they learned a lot from the mistakes that I and other economic hitmen from the United States made over the period of time. We made some big mistakes, and we need to correct them.
That's a fascinating statement that you just made. The same economic hits that the United States did for so many decades, the Chinese are now doing, but perhaps in a more sophisticated way, in a different way. I'm out of time, but this is a conversation I want to pick up with you again. John, really, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciated the conversation.
You see, there's resentment growing about America's policy, about her positioning her military all in everybody's backyard. She doesn't want anybody to come close to her borders, but she has no problems deploying weapon systems up to the borders of other nations, or inside borders of other nations, or stealing the wealth from the other nations, right? But she always complains, it's China taking our jobs, right? But the hypocrisy of these white people, I'm telling you, it is absolutely astonishing, right? But you already said, there's growing resentment from these nations. Right, and China is not getting into their domestic affairs. China is not trying to force these people to have certain kind of governments. And people will deal with you when you leave them alone like that. But arrogance of a nation, I am and there is none other. Isn't that Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar? Huh? Isn't that what brought down the kingdom? Isn't that what brought it down? The arrogance, I am. Look at what my hands have wrought. That's America, ain't that right? You know it is. I'm not making this stuff up. So listen, you already said America's losing. She's losing, and she's losing bad. What I'm going to do, I'm going to play this two-minute clip, which is talking about the free trade agreement that was inked, okay? And then at the time it was saying it was about to be inked. But then after that, we're going to come back, and I'm going to try to play a couple clips from the Red Pill Diaries, which is going to talk about where America is going, okay? So give me a second. Let me play this for you.
A number of countries in the Asia-Pacific will enter the world's largest free trade deal. The signing will take place on Sunday at the ongoing virtual summit of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN. The Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, or RCEP, will cover all 10 ASEAN members and several of its neighbors, including China. Chinese Premier Li Keqiang has made a speech via video link on the two sides' growing investment and trade despite the impacts of the pandemic. Combating the coronavirus was a key topic. Brian Malter reports from Kuala Lumpur.
Well, unlike the normal in-person ASEAN summits, we didn't get to hear the opening speeches from the participants, so it's a bit of guesswork involved. We really have to go by the statements that the leaders made in their ASEAN Plus One meetings, plus the officials' statements from the foreign ministries of the various countries before this summit. And what they're striking is a very conciliatory tone. Of course, there are historic tensions, military tensions, territorial disputes among the East Asian countries particularly, but they've all been striking a very conciliatory tone that they need to look for ways to ease tensions, to ramp down rhetoric, and to focus on areas that they can collaborate in and communicate with and seek amicable agreements to their various disputes. So this is very promising ahead of this ASEAN Plus 3 summit. We know, of course, that the focus is going to be on the pandemic, on efforts to combat the health aspects of this, but also on how to quickly rebuild the economies of the countries of the region through closer collaboration, through boosting trade and investment. The U.S. ASEAN Business Council, which is based in Washington, D.C., came out with a statement today expressing its huge disappointment that the U.S. did not even send a senior cabinet minister or have a senior cabinet minister take part in these virtual talks, that it underlined the lack of engagement from the Trump administration. And leaders in this region, analysts in this region, business people in this region are all hoping that's going to change under the new administration, with they assume as President Biden to be the future leader of the country, that there will be a re-engagement in this region through forums such as ASEAN and APEC.
See, America got mad because she tried to stop the agreement from going through. Trump was doing his best, excuse me, to stop the agreement behind closed doors, and he was trying to push tensions to a new level. That's why he was provoking China. That's why he was doing stuff close to North Korea's border. That's why he was trying to stoke tensions over the Diu or the Senkaku Islands, whichever one you want to call them, that is controlled by Japan but is claimed by China. That's why he was using the South China Sea to try to drum up support for his policies against China. But it didn't happen. So when all of the nations put aside their differences, right, and signed the agreement, America was so bitter that she didn't even send a representative. And she is an Asian nation, remember, because California borders the Pacific Ocean, right? So part of America is Asian. Hawaii is an Asian occupied territory, because it is occupied. It was never brought into a state like they're trying to tell you, a legitimate U.S. state. It was forced into the Union of the United States. If you think I'm lying, Google it. Google it. Google it. All right? So she was so teed off that China got one off on her that she thumbed her nose and walked off like a little spoiled baby that was used to getting his way but didn't get his way. Like my little daughter sometimes does when she doesn't get her way. She folds her arms up and she says, like that, and walks off or something like that. That's what Trump did concerning the agreement signed by China and the Asian nations. Isn't that something? A spoiled brat on the international stage. But what do we see coming to America? What do we see coming? I'm trying to get a few clips in. What do we see coming? This is a clip from an interview that I did on the Red Pill Diaries with political analyst and press TV correspondent Charles Dunaway. Okay, so this is a 7 or 8 minute clip. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to listen to the first part of it especially, because he's going to say that we're living in so many words, he's going to say, this, we're living in the end of empire, of the American empire. So I want you to pay close attention to this, okay? Here we go, right here.
In the chat, they're saying they're getting feedback from your mic.
Well, listen close.
Check it a second.
This one, I think. This is it?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so for those of you who are listening on the other link, we just remedied that problem, okay? Now let's transition to something. With all of the, because the police are being armed like they're military, a domestic military force, And with America spending billions upon billions and even trillions of dollars on her bases and her wars abroad and to induct new weapons, some which are not worth the money, but how can she stay afloat, especially in an economic meltdown like now? How can the empire remain the dominant power? And before you answer that, I just want to add that I did a video a few days ago, maybe a week ago, and where I brought in all of the information that says China is now actually the number one economy in the world. So not only does she have the top four banks in the world, and her four banks have more than the next 20 banks, and not only is she the world's lender, she's America's lender, she is the number one manufacturer, the number one importer, the number one exporter, she's the number one trade partner to almost every nation around the world, and now her economy passes the purchasing power parity line and becomes a reality and becomes a $24.2 trillion economy compared to America's $20.8 trillion economy. Mm-hmm. And with that said, there was a report saying that America will lose at least $16 trillion of her economy this year alone. How can America continue to fund these wars abroad and fund her domestic military force here?
Well, I don't think they can. Yeah, I think that we are in the last days of the empire, and we don't have too many choices here. But to get back to your first part, I mean, you're absolutely right here that one of the things is we're spending so much money on the military. And what we're doing, we're training all these young men and women on how to kill and how to use all these weapons. And what they go into a theater of combat like Iraq or Afghanistan, and yes, okay, they can say everybody else is the enemy, even if it's not true. But, you know, you can't go into a neighborhood, you know, in Cleveland and think that the people around you are the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones you're supposed to serve. But here's where they got this training. They're getting these outlandish weapons from the military, cast-offs, you know, from the military. And they're pushing that on the police forces. And everything is going to, you know, everything is there to basically escalate violence. And, you know, they don't train them properly. But, you know, when you talk about the bigger issue with the empire, I mean, I come down to this point that, you know, you have with the military things going around, what they call a self-licking ice cream cone. You know, you've got this situation where, you know, we're selling all these weapons to these countries overseas. We're shipping our people over there with all these weapon systems, and we've got to have a new bomber that goes faster than the Russians can get them. And we got to have, you know, all these aircraft carriers, destroyers, and all this kind of stuff. And you think about, well, what are we defending? You know, and we've got to the point, as you say, where we have $1 trillion a year at least going into the military that comes right out of income tax, right out of people's wallets. But then we can't feed children in the country. We can't house. You know, I go down the street from my house into the park down here, there's people camping, you know, off the side of the path,
mm-hmm.
in the woods. You know, not one or two. I mean, dozens of people out there who live out there,
mm-hmm.
you know. And why is that? You know, why should we be doing that? And really, the somehow the answer has to go with these two corrupt political parties. You know, and, you know, you've had, they are basically serving the corporations. They're serving and the corporations are making money off all this stuff. The banks are making money off all this stuff. You know, so, yeah, we sell more F-35s to the United Arab Emirates. Well, great. Somebody's got a lot of money now. They're making more money. You know, we don't think about the consequences ever. It's, yeah, we just keep this thing going. Becomes its own. You know, it becomes like perpetual motion, you know, and it's hard to imagine being able to stop it. I mean, if you want to think about like we started off with, why is Trump now putting people in the Pentagon who want to get out of Afghanistan, for example? Why didn't he put them in, you know, 4 years ago and actually get us the hell out of Afghanistan?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, they don't want that. I mean, the people that's in his own party don't want that. And nobody in the Washington bureaucracy wants that because they're all making money off of it. You know, and the reason to get involved in these other countries militarily is to make money. I mean, I don't see any reason for us to be in Syria, for us to be in Iraq, for us to be in Afghanistan, or any of these other countries. I mean, and we got, what, 800 bases around the world?
Actually, that's a mistake.
Yeah.
That's what is reported a lot on. But a few years ago, I was watching the Pentagon briefers in a meeting with Congress. And one of the top generals said that America, when you include her training centers and stuff, America has roughly over 5,000. And it blew my mind. I was like, what? Over 5,000 bases around the world.
For what? Well, yeah. I mean, people making money at every one of those bases. You know, you've got your civilian contractors. You've got all the, Halliburtons and all the people that have to supply all the stuff that's there and all the food for the troops and everything else. I mean, you know, it's making a lot of money. And we don't have anything else making money in this country right now. You know, we've lost our manufacturing, you know, intentionally. We drove manufacturing out, and mostly the Democrats had that pleasure. And now this is the only industry we've got, is building these weapons and weapon systems and selling them overseas. And, you know, it's hard for me to imagine that somebody go in as president and stop it, because they would be under so much pressure from every quarter, you know, and you'd have to have loyal people who agreed with your policy in all the key positions, you know, in the intelligence and defense and state. And even then, you would have a hard time keeping the blob or the deep state or whatever you want to call it from just basically screwing with everything you were trying to do. It's frustrating your efforts. There are people that say, well, if somebody really tried to do that, they get themselves killed. I mean, some president are trying to do that. Yeah, maybe so.
So, did you hear, this is an excerpt from an interview that I did with Mr. Charles Dunaway, who is a political commentator, and also he does stuff on press TV, and he also writes articles for different worldwide publications. But it was something very, very specific that he said. And he was talking about the inherent corruption of the system, and how America no longer has anything but a military base. She has no industrial base, no manufacturing base. All she has is a military-industrial complex. And this is how America has three things that she exports. And most of those are starting to be rejected. She has a dollar that she once exported around the world that gave her power to dominate people's domestic and international affairs. She has her movies that she once was able to export around the world. And then she would, by exporting her movies and people would take a look at it, she was able to subliminally impose her culture on people. And the third level of her power was her military-industrial complex. And she was able to force other nations to buy her weaponry, but now the people are declining her dollar. Now people are rejecting her movies and her culture. And even now they're challenging her domination militarily, because China and Russia both have weapons that are similar to and in some cases superior to America's weapons. All right? Because if you want to look at it, as I said on one of the interviews that I did on the Red Pill Diaries, China is technologically in most cases, superior to America. Why you say that? Well, you say that America's banning chips and blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not America that's making the chips. It's Taiwan, which is a part of China. But anyway, I digress on that. I'm just saying, do you know when America is talking about that China steals her technology, do you know that's an outright lie? You can Google this. I'm asking you to Google this to check what I'm saying. For the last few years, China has issued more patents, P-A-T-E-N-T-S, patents, for discoveries and for workable things in her industries than any nation on earth. In the technology industry, she's issued more patents than the United States and any nation in the world. So how in the hell can America be dominant technologically? And this has been going on for years, right? So, again, I go back. Some of her weapons are superior to America's weapons, because think about this. America is trying to test out a hypersonic weapon. China and Russia has two workable versions of hypersonic weapons. China has the most powerful destroyer warship on the planet, bar none. If you think I'm lying, Google this. This is not just on an Asian website. You can Google this on U.S. News. Their radar sees 2 to 3 times further than any competitor. Their missiles from that destroyer shoot 2 to 3 times farther than any competitor. I'm not making this up. This is stuff that is left out of the news. So I touch on this stuff on the Star and Crescent Report and the Red Pill Diary because I'm trying to get you to understand what is going on. They're keeping you in this bubble here where you're still thinking, we're number one. Oh, blah, 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 blah. And then when it comes to America, you start acting like you French. We. Well, you don't hold a stake in America. You are in an apartment, in a trailer, in a modular home, in a house that you're paying a mortgage on. You own no stakes in America. Where the hell does we come from? It's only we when they want you to go to war. But when you start acting for freedom, justice, and equality, who the hell the niggas talking to? It's them, those, they. You better get this in your mind. But anyway, as I'm talking to you, I just want you to understand that this is America, the land of chaos and collapse. Brother Jero, I see you there. I'm going to bring you in just a few minutes, okay? Just stay. Keep your hand up, Brother Jero. I got to bring you in. But I got to play this clip here. This is another clip from that same interview. Brothers and sisters, on the Red Pill Diaries, you can go to the YouTube and subscribe. It's free. Go to the Highlands 1555 blog and read the articles. They're free. Go to the Highlands 1555 blog and subscribe to the premium articles. And also go to the Red Pill Diaries on Patreon. It's patreon.com/theRedPillDiaries, all one word, and sign up. We even have an introductory package for $2. $2 where you get some of the premium stuff, because I'm starting this week, we're going to drop a whole bunch of information that has just come to me. I mean, it's a lot. I got a lot of phone calls and a lot of texts and a lot of emails on stuff that are panning out. And if you think what I'm saying is wrong, you can ask Brother Rashid. Sometimes Brother Rashid, he texts me or he calls me and say, Brother, what's going on? Did your sources say something? I tell him, a few days later, it's in the news. A couple days later, a couple weeks later, it's in the news. I write it or I put it in a video in the Red Pill Diaries. You get it before anybody get it, and you'll understand what's going on, okay? But I want to go, before I play this clip and before I bring Brother Gerald in, I want to go back to the last clip, and I want to just play the first part of what Mr. Dunaway said, okay? So y'all bear with me because I'm trying to get a point across. Listen to what he says after I ask him a question.
In the chat, they're saying they're getting feedback from your mic. Could you check it a second?
This one, I think. Is this it?
Yes. Yeah there you go. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So for those of you who are listening on the other link, we just remedied that problem, okay? Now let's transition to something. With all of the
because the police are being armed like they're military, a domestic military force. And with America spending billions upon billions and even trillions of dollars on her bases and her wars abroad and to induct new weapons, some which are not worth the money. But how can she stay afloat, especially in an economic meltdown like now? How can the empire remain the dominant power? And before you answer that, I just want to add that I did a video a few days ago, maybe a week ago, and where I brought in all of the information that says China is now actually the number one economy in the world. So not only does she have the top four banks in the world, and her four banks have more than the next 20 banks, and not only is she the world's lender, she's America's lender, she is the number one manufacturer, the number one importer, the number one exporter, she's the number one trade partner to almost every nation around the world, and now her economy passes the purchasing power parity line and becomes a reality and becomes a $24.2 trillion economy compared to America's $20.8 trillion economy.
Mm-hmm.
And with that said, there was a report saying that America will lose at least $16 trillion of her economy this year alone. How can America continue to fund these wars abroad and fund her domestic military force here?
Well, I don't think they can. Yeah, I think that we are in the last days of the empire, and we don't.
You hear what he said? He thinks that we are in the last days of the empire. Now, I want to share something with you. I'm going to play this last clip, then I'm going to bring Brother Gerald in. I have so many clips that I wanted to get to you all, but I'm not going to get to them because I see the time is limited. But I want to share something with you all. All right. The Red Pill Diaries, and this has everything to do with the show that we're talking about today on the Star and Crescent Report and the chaos that's coming in America and all this stuff. I've had on the Red Pill Diaries, which we started about 2.5 to 3 months ago, I've had Dick Croy. I've had his screenwriter, author, and playwright, and what Dick Croy. I've had former U.S. Senate candidate, Mark Dankoff, and he is also a correspondent to Press TV. I've had Miles Honig, the Green Party U.S. House candidate, on there, and he's also a correspondent for Press TV. I've had Charles Dunaway, who is also a correspondent and a political analyst on Press TV. And I've had a market guru and inside investor and YouTube sensation Gregory Mannarino on the Red Pill Diaries. This week, not this weekend, but the coming weekend, we're going to have Poor Righteous Teachers, which is a conscious rap group from the 80s and 90s who talked Islam. They'll be on there. Now, we got a whole bunch of other stuff coming there, but what I'm saying to you is this. If I'm a racist, right, if what Elijah Muhammad said is not true, then why do those white people respect me? Because I just gave you a list outside of the rappers. I just gave you a list of the guests that just came on. And remember, we had Ray McGovern supposed to be on there, but something happened, and he sent me an email, and he wanted to reschedule it. But so why do these high-powered, informed people come on my show? Why do these people, and I don't have 200, 3,000 subscribers, why do they come to my show? Because they know about the Star and Crescent Report, because they respect the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because behind closed doors, I won't tell you who said what, but I can tell you this. They told me that I'm doing a mighty fine job of representing Elijah Muhammad's teachings. I know that much. So what I'm telling you is that these people recognize it, but you don't. You don't recognize it. It's a very, I'm telling you, it's sad. Let me get to this next clip by Charles Dunaway, and then I'm going to bring in Brother Gerald because I see the time rolling out. Brother Gerald, be patient with your brother. Don't be mad at me, brother. Be patient with me. Please, 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 brother. So listen to this clip here. And this is him, and he's talking about how we're stumbling towards economic collapse. And this is from the same interview. You can go look. We just put the whole interview on YouTube. You can go look at all of the interviews like that. But we have interviews that will be coming exclusively to the Red Pill Diary that will not be on YouTube. And we have interviews and live streams that will be on
the Red Pill Diaries in that will not be published on YouTube. So join us. We have the beginner package at $2. All right? We're not breaking your neck. We got beginner package, $2. We got bronze package, $5. And we got silver package at $12. Go help, because it's not coming to me. Some of you Negroes don't want to subscribe. Be talking about Elijah Muhammad, and then you acknowledge what I'm doing, and you don't even get put your money behind it. Then you want to go and point fingers. Farrakhan a hypocrite. Farrakhan a hypocrite. That's what you do. Oh, Farrakhan hypocrite. He doing it. He doing it. Yeah, but Farrakhan is doing what he is doing, and he has the financial wherewithal to do it and the backing to do it. Huh? So if you believe that, and you believe that I was teaching the truth of the Honorable Elijah, then why won't you put your money behind it? Uh-huh. You've been put on Front Street, huh? Yeah, you Negroes love to talk and don't do nothing. Yeah, I'm calling y'all out. But listen to this. We're going to go to this clip here by Mr. Charles Dunaway.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Well, isn't that what you just described, isn't that the definition of fascism? Because you just said about how corporations pushes the policy and the government uses the military to enforce the policy. That's fascism.
Yeah.
So we can get out of this notion that America is a democracy, and we can get out of this notion that the elections really count, because someone told me, a few people told me, that it doesn't matter who is in office. As a matter of fact, Vladimir Putin once said, when he was being interviewed and they were asking him about that, he said, U.S. presidents have little power. He said, as soon as they get elected, men in black suits come and tell them what to do. And
yeah,
so,
he's probably right there.
So he was saying that that regardless to which side the coin flips, it's still the same coin, and it's going to keep pushing the same policy regardless. And that's what we're looking at today. So with that said, and we are talking about the domestic, because there's a domestic crisis across America, mm-hmm. with the wealth divide, the race divide, the harsh policies on the middle class and the poor people, and the double standards also, because you get a person getting 50 years to a life for stealing a loaf of bread that they may want to eat, and then you have corporations stealing trillions of dollars, and then they get bonuses. So yeah. with that happening domestically, how can the republic survive? Because you cannot survive in a corrupt, inept society that's run by thieves.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, and I think so far what they've been able to do is propagandize us to an extent that, you know, I mean, most people now will tell you, well, you know, if we had only elected Bernie Sanders. Okay, well, you know, I mean, old Bernie would not have been able to do much of anything either.
Right.
You know, but, you know, you've got to, people got to be informed. And part of the way they keep this power is they don't let people get informed. That's why, you know, you just had, let me get these back here. You just had all these people taken off of Twitter and Facebook, mm-hmm. and YouTube as well, because, you know, and not because they were run by the Chinese or the Iranians or any of that crap. It was because they are telling the truth often about what's going on in the world. And yeah, I think the COVID thing has also given people an excuse to pull these people off, because if somebody doesn't believe, you know, in all the what we're told about COVID, and they bring up some alternative idea, you know, oh yeah, we got to get rid of them, it's bad for public health and all that. But yeah, that kind of censorship, even though it's not being done directly by the government, I mean, it's done at government direction, I can tell you that much, because they're you know, somebody's telling them who to take off the air and who to leave on. But that censorship is part of the fascism too. And the reason fascism is really a great way to keep people in line, you know, when the government isn't doing for them what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're stumbling toward an economic collapse is what I think. You know, and we're going to
You heard that? I cut it short because I know the time is short, and I want to bring Brother Jerry in because I've been holding the brother on and on. Brother, don't be mad at me. I got to bring you in right now, my brother. I got to say to you, I still love a Laker, brother.
Relax a lot, sir. Relax a lot.
How's it going?
I'm doing well, brother. All praise is due to Allah, as always, brother. I stand the show. As the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, a Muslim is one who desires for his brother what he desires for himself. So therefore,
yes,
if we're true followers of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we shouldn't have nothing but love for our brother and one another, in spite of our differences. You see how the devil, he disagrees behind closed doors, but in the open, brother, you know, they come out, you know, in unification to keep their world and their powers, you know, over to everyone else around the world. So, you know, in spite of our differences with one another, whatever we may have, you know, we got to put the program first, and that's the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad teachings, you know, first
that's
and
right.
foremost, brother.
That's right.
Yes, sir. But I wanted to touch on something on the China thing, and you know as well as anyone, brother, you know, Mike Pompeo, you know, he should be getting a pat on the back for the unification of these Asian nations with China.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Am I right, brother?
Tell them again,
yes,
brother, just in case they missed it. Tell them what you just said.
Yes, sir. Mike Pompeo should be getting a pat on the back, brother, for this unification, brother, because he was over there a couple of weeks ago, early November, last part of October, what is called the Quad Grouping. And he was trying to force head these Asian nations to go against China. And they basically just rebuffed him and said, you know, go back to America. And next thing you know, Australia, Japan, and 14 other countries signed this large trade agreement with China. So, you know, that's just the devil, brother, trying to cause division amongst brethren. Thing to note, too, brother, which is real interesting to show you what the messenger said in relation to China. And the messenger said this well over 50 years ago, that China had been preparing 50 years to take on America. Yes, sir. But what's interesting, too, is that, and a lot of no one is really talking about this, is that China not only is unifying these Asian nations, the ASEAN nations, but China is doing business right next door in America's backyard in Latin America. They're doing business with most of these Latin American countries right on America's heel. So
brother,
it just proves. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I was going to say on that, keep talking, but I wanted to let you know, China is the largest trade partner in South America, too.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Absolutely. And so it's just the rise of the East and the decline of the West. And, you know, China is doing exactly their part of what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us of what China would do in unifying these countries. And so many times you have touched on these circumstances that America and their alienation of these countries who they consider allies, like Japan. Japan has not forgotten that America dropped two atomic bombs on them, and how the people in Tokyo have been on a concerted effort daily for years, who have been protesting for America to leave Japan and their military bases out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they are all uniting against America. So, like you said, you know, Pakistan and what Brother Rashid spoke on of the other Asian nations, they're all unifying against America, where America will be isolated, where they've also tried to do this to other countries. As Obad has said, thou has done, so shall it be done unto thee. And now it's coming back to America. America will be on the outskirts looking in, as they've done on everybody else. I know you've got a little time left, brother, but beautiful teachings, brother, once again. Good to hear you live, black man.
Love you, brother. Love you, brother.
Love you back, brother.
Slava Lego. Now, I want to say something to you all, brother. I got like 30 seconds, but I'm going to push it a little bit past it because I want to say something to you all, brothers and sisters. I love you. I mean, it's a pleasure for me to come before you and show you these things. I want you all to go check out that thing on the Red Pill Diaries. Don't go to all those others. Go to the Red Pill Diaries that has Morpheus from the Matrix. Yes, the red pill and the blue pill in his hand. That's the one that I do. The Red Pill Diaries, all one word. Go there,